lockdown. We're here together, drawing near to our screens in our homes, perhaps with our families on our own, with our Bibles open, and let's just give our hearts focus this morning as we consider Him. For we are His people, His family. We are Christians, and God is not peripheral in our life, but He is central, and we give Him our focus, our hearts, our faith, our attention this morning. And we sanctify Him in our hearts. Amen. It's such a joy to be a believer in any age, in any time. You would count it such a blessing to know the Lord, that have that sense that He is with you, and that we can look to Him and pray to Him. I'm so thankful for this local church family. Although we're not able to be physically together during this time, we know that we're praying for one another. Different ones are communicating. We had a wonderful men's group yesterday by Zoom. It was such a joy to see those men and hear the different portions and pray together. We're going to have communion today on live stream at 3 o'clock, our local time. So if you'd like to join us, have the elements ready, and we'll lead you through communion just shortly, 10 minutes or so. So you're welcome to join us for that. Many of you may be expecting us to start the book of Galatians today. We were thinking and praying and hoping to do that. But yesterday I just didn't have the peace as I was finalizing and getting ready. So we've taken a different turn this morning. But book of Galatians we will do. Perhaps we'll do that on Wednesdays or something. But stay tuned for that. Stay focused for that. That will be a wonderful study together. We're going to do something a little bit different this morning. So God bless each one, and let's pray. Father, we are gathered this morning, though perhaps not physically gathered together. We draw near in our hearts together to You with a full assurance of faith, knowing that You are with us, You are for us, that You are our Lord, our God, our Savior. We praise You and thank You this morning. We ask You to quicken our hearts. Please don't let us be distracted or passive in our listening to You today. But, oh Lord, we pray. Hebrews 4:2 says, oh, mixing faith with the Word of God. Lord, we pray that we could do that this morning. We would mix faith, that Your Word would be profitable to us, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. In the book of Deuteronomy, or the book of Fifth Moses, as they used to say in Hungary, Deuteronomy, this book, the scene, the stage is Moses on the banks of Moab, on the east side, as they're waiting to cross the new generation, finally crossing into the promised land after 40 years of wilderness wandering. And Moses, at the end of his life, 120 years old, gives this last address to this new generation going into the land. A series of sermons where there are warnings, exhortations, strong words to guide and to challenge and to lead them into the land, but also into the next generations that will follow, that they will be a people that is set apart to God. For it was clear in Moses' address that they would be tempted by the ways of Canaan, or we could say in the New Testament language, in the ways of the world. They would be tempted with the values and the thinking and the lifestyle of those that would surround them. And God, through Moses, is saying, you are a people to be set apart unto me. It doesn't mean that we live in a monastery somewhere or we live hyper-spiritual lives, but it means that we are guarded and careful, and we are desiring to be set apart unto God through His Word. We don't want to love the world over loving God in 1 John 2:15. We want the love of God to be in us. We want His Spirit in us. We have not received the spirit of the world, 1 Corinthians 2:12, but we have received what? The Spirit of God, that he would teach us, lead us, that we would live in an understanding, that we would live in a very present sense of purpose, of calling, of his voice in our life. And sadly, that's easy. That's something that's easy to be compromised, to be lost, to be forfeited, to be traded. So we are to have a guarded heart. Proverbs 6:23, guard your heart. How important that is. So we pick it up in Deuteronomy chapter 4, and we'll skip through some of these verses here. Verse 9, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, unless you forget the things that your eyes have seen. Now, take heed here means to be guarded, or to put a hedge around this thing, to protect it, to give your full attention to it, to beware, to watch out, to be a watchman, to be on guard, right? You imagine someone who's on guard, it's their watch to be watch the gate or whatever it might be, and they're sleeping. That is not being a good steward. That is being careless. And we are called to be careful. We are called to take heed, to be awake, to be aware, to be guarded, to be watchful of what? Our lives, our calling, our walk with God. So 4:9, take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, unless you forget the things that your eyes have seen, unless they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children, etc. And that should be something that should shake us into a sense of awareness that this could depart from my heart, that we could forget, that the fervency of our faith and our joy in our spirit-filled days could be just a vague memory in our twilight years if we are not guarded. It's possible that years from now we would lose our way, lose our faith, lose our fervency, lose our reverence. So the word says, take heed to yourselves. Verse 10, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb or Sinai, where the Lord said to me, Moses speaking, gather the people to me and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth. So Moses says, be careful that you don't forget what you've seen, what you've heard. And he says, especially when you stood at Mount Sinai, where there was the fire and the rumbling on the mountain, and I came down with the words of God, the law of God. And it says here, and God let them hear his words. That's quite something, isn't it? Imagine you are on the earth, and you would be one who could hear the words of God. What an unspeakable privilege that would be. Verse 15 of Deuteronomy 4. Take careful heed to yourselves. There it is again, another take heed. For you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Sinai out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure. And what he's saying is when you were at Sinai and throughout your history as the Jewish people through the wilderness, etc., you didn't see an image. There wasn't a graven image, an idol or a carved depiction of God. And you are not to make an idol. You are not to make an image or an icon or a figure. You are to worship the true God in spirit and in truth. And he's warning them because, of course, that was the ways of Canaan, that they would carve idols. They would cut down a tree and use half for a fire to warm their hands and half to make an idol. And God says, you don't do that. You don't create God after your image, but you are created in the image of God. You worship him in truth and in spirit. Why is that relevant to us today? You say, why are we talking about idols in the 21st century, in our modern, sophisticated, educated society, the age of information? Why are we talking about idols? Surely that only applies to back then. But of course, we know that's not to be true. We know that today, we know that we are made to worship. And if I'm not worshiping the true God, I will worship something. So therefore, I this warning goes for us also. Do not make for yourself a carved image, or in other words, do not be given to idolatry. Look at verse 19. Another, take heed. Take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven. And when you see the sun and the moon and the stars and the host of heaven, listen to these words, you feel driven to worship them and serve them. And we will be driven to worship and to serve something, essentially with ourselves in the center, that we are self-serving, we are fulfilling the lusts of our own flesh, and we neglect a spiritual life and forsake the living God. Look at this, verse 23, the fourth, take heed. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. Well, the context here, the people gathered, a chosen people set apart to God, that he would speak from heaven, that he would give his words to them, that they will be those that look to him, trust him, are set apart and serve and follow him. And he says, take heed, take heed, take heed. Have a guarded heart. Why? Verse 32. For ask now concerning the days that are past, which were before you, since the day God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has ever happened, or anything like this has ever been heard. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and live? It's an amazing question, amazing verse, isn't it? Ask concerning the days that are past and the days that are present and the days that are before you, since God created man to this very day, and ask from one end of heaven to the other. Search and ask anyone all through history, has it ever been that God would speak from heaven to man, that God would reveal himself to man? And as Christians, we would say, oh, yes. And of course, these Jews in the time of Moses, Israel, they would say, yes, God has revealed himself. And they would speak of Mount Sinai and the tabernacle and the pillar of fire and the tablets of stone. And we as New Testament believers in 1 Timothy 3:16 understand that this is the inspired word of God, that we have been students of it, that we are disciples, that we have studied the prophecies and the types and the feasts and the verses. We have studied human history and discerned the hand of God, his purpose, his program. Excuse me, his timeline. And therefore we would say, yes, this is amazing that the Word was God and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that this is the gospel. And can it be said anywhere, from the east to the west, to the north to the south? Can it be said anywhere on the earth, from heaven to earth, in all of history, that man has revealed himself to God like this? And we would say, no, nowhere. Nowhere, but here it can be said. In the Judeo-Christian worldview, that God has revealed himself, that God has spoken to us. That as Christians, we have this sense that this is his word, that he has spoken, he has come, he has revealed himself. So Moses lays out this question in the form of a charge, of a warning, that you would pause and sense the stewardship and the privilege of what this means in your life to be a Christian. What an unbelievable privilege. And as I speak to many during this lockdown one-on-one, we often say that to one another, what a privilege it is, and thank God that we are believers and we know the Lord. But many don't have that. But we are so thankful for our faith, and we have a heart for all to know that truth. Verse 35. You were shown these things that you might know that the Lord is God, and beside him there is no other. That's a wonderful conclusion and conviction to come to in your heart, that you know the true God. There is none like him. Verse 36, out of heaven he let you hear his voice, that he might instruct you. On earth he showed you his great fire, and you heard words out of the midst of the fire. Verse 39, therefore know this day and consider it in your heart. Oh, how we owe it to ourselves often to consider it in our heart, to take pause and meditate and have quiet time and consider these marvelous truths, these high truths of the gospel, that this is his word, that these are his promises, that this is his plan, that we are his people. We must consider it in our heart, not just let it surface in our thoughts, but let it be considered deep in our hearts, that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Again, being a Christian, it's not some addition to our life, like a hobby or an interest. It's not a part of my life. I have this and I have this and I have this. Oh yes, and I have this. I'm a Christian. No, this is something that should have an effect on every part of our life. For this we were made, right? We were made for this, to know him. And we have heard God's voice. You say, well, I didn't hear God's voice in the fire on the fiery mount like the Israelites did, or in the burning bush like Moses did. And we would say, no, of course not. But we are recognizing the supernatural character and origin of the word of God that we have. 2 Timothy 3:16, that his word is inspired and profitable for all. That we have been born again and quickened and spirit-filled, that we have enjoyed the sense of his presence in worship and quiet time. We have sensed his hand, that we have seen him answer prayer, and we are believers. Nevertheless, we must take heed. We must be careful. This is what God was saying to the Israelites through Moses. As they would go into the land, listen, take heed, you are God's people. You are set apart unto him. And you must be aware of the ways of the world. For this world system is under the effect and influence and guidance of the God of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan is the God of this world. And the prince and power of the air in Ephesians 2:2-5. That there is a warfare, that there is a world system. There is a luring, a seduction, a lullaby that would love to lull the believer to sleep, that he is in the world and he is living according to the ways of the world. But we read the verse, take heed to yourself, keep yourself, lest you forget. And these warnings are found in the New Testament as well, of course, in the book of 1 John. Now remember, 1 John, 5 short chapters, very powerful, written to believers about fellowship, about assurance, about light and life, etc., about ways that you can be sure of your salvation, etc. And he says in 1:4, these things we write to you that your joy might be full. 2:1, these things I write to you that you may not continue in sin. In other words, you would experience victory in your life. 5:13, these things I've written to you that you may know you have eternal life, that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So John says, this is why this is written, so that your joy would be full, you would be victorious, you would know that you have eternal life and you would continue in faith. But look at have you seen the last verse of that epistle? In 1 John 5:21, this is how he finishes his epistle, his letter, with a little punch, an important exhortation and warning to every Christian, to you and to me, this very morning, this very hour. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Amen. He lays out all of the wonders and the beauty of the Christian life, fellowship and assurance and the Spirit of God and conviction and continuing in faith. And then he ends, keep yourself from idols. And perhaps that is no more relevant any time in history than it is this very day, this very time, in this very culture, that we would keep ourselves from idols. For again, we were made to worship something. course, we know we were made to worship God. But if we do not worship the true God, we will worship something else. And that is why the way that we keep ourselves from idols, and that's a good question. Well, how do I keep myself from idols? Well, if I am made to worship something, then the way to keep myself from idols is to worship that which I was made for. Be a worshiper of God, and that's the way I keep myself from idolatry. Or in the words of 1 Peter 3:15, that you would sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That is not accidental, that is purposed. You can take it or leave it. You can take up your cross or not. You can walk by faith and conviction or not. You can believe this word or not. But make the decision. For if you want God to be central, if you want God to be leading and guiding and honoring and blessing your life, then you must take heed. You must hear the warning and take heed. Also, Ephesians 6:10, a New Testament warning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in the heavenly places. The spiritual realm is a reality. Spiritual warfare is a reality. The battle and the warfare for your very soul and minds and lives is a reality. If you are a young person, God has a call on your life, but it is contested. There are those who would love to lead you astray, that you wouldn't take heed, but you would be careless in your life. You would neglect the Bible. You would lose your desire for the things of God and the ways of God. That you would become someone who is not a churchgoer, someone who wears the name Christian like a badge, but you don't have the convictions of a Christian, but you live in the world as if God is not in your life. That can happen. 1 Peter 5:7. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, there is a personal sense there. I have a personal savior, I have a personal adversary, one who is for me, one who is against me. And he says, be sober, therefore, be vigilant, for he seeks whom he may devour. Verse 8. And verse 9 says, resist him steadfastly in the faith. How do you resist him? Not in your faith, in the faith, that it is through the body of truth, through the inspired word, through his word, we are able to resist him. Hebrews 3:12. Just in case we need another one. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I remember having a quiet devotion, prayer time with Allison, my youngest, in her room one night, more than once, but I remember one night she said this. She said, Dad, one thing that I fear is that when I get older, I lose my faith and I'm not following God. And I love that awareness in the heart of a child. And shouldn't that awareness be in every one of our hearts and lives today? Shouldn't that be in my heart, that I don't want to coast, I don't want to become callous, I don't want to become a nominal Christian, I don't want to lose the fervency and the conviction and the vision and the passion? That's a wonderful thing to be in the heart. And that's what Hebrews 4 says, the following after that very verse, where it says, therefore, let us fear, lest the promise being left us, because we do not mix faith with it, we do not enter in. That's a healthy fear to have. And we could say, especially in times like this, when we are in a lockdown, right? especially in a time like this, we are called to faith. We don't have other believers in our life. We don't have the church in our life. We're not drawing near to this place. Therefore, all the more we must compensate. That's the word. We must compensate for that. We do not have other believers, an iron sharpening iron. We don't have someone preaching the word in this in the same fashion. Of course, we're thankful for technology. But we don't have corporate worship and corporate prayer and such things. We have more time. We're at home. What are we doing with our time? Oh, redeem the time. Ephesians 5:18. Redeem the time. Or 16, redeem the time, for the days are evil, it says. So, we must understand how crucial the Word of God is in our life. God bless you for tuning in this morning and being drawn. I think of, I could name anyone this morning, but I think of Thelma Welsh, and there are many others like her, Jan Charles and Dom De Noon, and just different ones who by faith, and we could name all of our assembly who are at the screen this morning, and there is a fervency and a hunger and a feeding in the heart because of the understanding how important the Word of God is in our lives. All the more we must walk by faith. There are some things in life that must be purposed, and they will never happen by accident. It's so easy for any of us to live natural lives. Have you noticed? Psalm 119, verse 25. Our soul cleaves to the dust. Our hearts are prone to wander. As the hymn says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Take my heart, oh, take and seal it with thy spirit from above. Rescued thus from sin and danger, purchased by the Savior's blood, may I walk on earth a stranger, as a son, an heir of God. It's so easy for us to live natural lives, but we can't afford to coast, to be careless, to be abstract, to be nominal, but we must have a purpose heart that draws near. For there is a sin that does so easily beset us in Hebrews 12:2, and in the context of chapter 11, that sin is unbelief, that we would enter into unbelief. Hebrews 3:19, we conclude that they did not enter into the promised land because of unbelief. And it's the same for you and I. I think because of time this morning, I have so much more to say, but we'll continue this another time. But needless to say, I think the word for us this morning is to take heed, to have a guarded heart, not to take things for granted. We are exhorted to take up our cross. Luke 9:23, if any man be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me daily. Daily we are exhorted to take up our cross. You say, what does that mean? It means that we would enter into faith, that we would take him at his word. We would live according to his word in our life. We would live by faith. We would seek to know what it means by way of our experience to be a spirit-filled believer with fervency, not a nominal, backslidden, carnal believer, but to be quickened again in the freshness of faith, to sense the purity and the paths of righteousness that are laid out before us because of his great grace and his spirit. And perhaps never more in our lives, a time like this, where we are to take heed, to be guarded, to be careful, to be good stewards, to make sure this book is open in our lives, that we take time to pause, to pray, to believe, to consider in our hearts that he is God and there is no other. Let's follow him with all our hearts. Amen. So, Father, we thank you this morning for again another opportunity to hear from you, to consider you, to respond to you in our hearts. And we do that right now. We say, oh God, I hear you this morning. You speak to my heart. Oh, I pray you would help me you would strengthen me, you would quicken me again and again. And when I come to your word, and I know there's so much that would want to keep me from your word, we know that either sin will keep us from the Bible or the Bible will keep us from sin. Oh Lord, we pray you'd help us. And when we open this book, that you would speak to us, you would quicken us, you would revive our hunger again and again. Keep us as fervent believers in this time of lockdown in our land. And we take a moment to pray for our land and whichever country you're listening from this morning. We pray for our countries. Oh, we pray for the hospital staff. We pray for the doctors, the nurses, the care workers, their care homes. We pray for the elderly all the way down to the youngest. We pray for the students with the challenge of remote learning at home. We pray for the college students also, and the teachers, the parents who are having to work through their lives with working from home and also having children at home. Oh Lord, we pray for your great grace. We pray you'll keep us safe as we pray today for our church family and our families, our extended families. Oh, we pray that first of all, our hope is in you. And also we have a hope that you would bring about the vaccine in your way, in your time, that would be effective in our countries, that it would bring this pandemic to under control, that we could live our lives in some sense of normalcy again, and we would have a revived sense of purpose and priority. Perhaps that's a way you're using this in people's lives, that they wouldn't take things for granted, like church and fellowship and different opportunities we have as Christians. And lastly, perhaps as someone listening today, you're not sure of your salvation. You listen to these words, you listen to messages online, perhaps you even have had some Christian experience or church life, but you're not sure of your salvation. Or in this moment, say, oh Lord, I want to be a Christian. I want to put my faith in you, Jesus, not just in a theological sense or just with my words or my mind, but all in my heart, I put my faith in you as my Savior today. Thank you for your salvation given to me by grace. We pray, bless each one this day, this weekend, going into next week, all of the challenges and details that we have ahead. Give us great grace. Keep, cover, bless, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'll see some of you again at 3 o'clock today, right here for communion. You're welcome to join us. God bless you.